Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings, Hotep, and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You got your Omiyika 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you want. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to welcome those newcomers out there. Abarigani, what's up? What's happening? Thank you for coming and joining me this evening. I'd like to also say hello to my old-time friends. Thank you so very much for supporting me. I hope you've been receiving your emails. I've been trying to respond to each and every one of you to let you know how grateful I've been for you continually following this episode. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to apologize for our technical difficulty last Friday. Had some technical difficulty, a lot of echoing in that last segment, a lot of low and high tones. But if you can bear with me on this segment, we think we got it together. However, nevertheless, the whole content was there of what we were trying to get over. For those of you who were here last Friday, we were doing a call and response, showing you how the ancestors used to do it when we called and responded to the old songs that we were doing. One of my very best friends and I did a call and response segment. However, nevertheless, as I had told you about music being so instrumental in the lives of African Americans, and how the call and response and chanting is very important in our lives, meaning that we are tapped into the same energy frequency and each one of us can read one another's requests so that we work in that area of calling and responding. Nevertheless, we are on to a new segment today, ladies and gentlemen, and that segment is segment 16, Who is Alede and Oladulamon Ray? And what parts do they play in the Trinity? And we will be getting on with that message in just a second, but I want to ask my elder if I have permission to speak so that I can go on and get on with the show and following all the rules, getting her permission. Elder, do I have permission to speak on this show?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much. Elder, and could you give us a prayer, an introduction prayer? And then I'll do a prayer for the audience as well.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come with bowed heads and humble hearts. We come thanking you for your goodness and your mercy and how you have blessed and kept us. Father, sometimes we fall short. Living in this imperfect world, we fall short, but we beg your forgiveness. Look on us today, Almighty God. Look on us and guide us and direct us, Father. Father, bless the program as it go forth, and may it touch somebody out there, and may it help somebody to find their way. Father God, we are so thankful for you. We just give you all praise, and we can't make it without you, Father. We ask you to continue to stay with us, and we continue to praise you and give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we say amen.
Thank you so very much, Elder, for that prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, we like to give a prayer in the native tongue of Yoruba, of Ifa language, and this prayer is for the Oris. that took prayer that's read, Ori Onisha Ade, Ori Atre, Ikoma, Uri, Etelemo, Bata, Rinemi, Ori Baba, Ori Ogun, Ori Ekeba, Ejiba, Kone, Jenny, Ori Baba, Korue, Leira, Akute, Lua, Kun, Lelori, Eka, Ori, Jowa, Darakan, Morepa, Lo. In translation, meaning Ori, cause and creator, Ori Apre, who makes bean cakes but never sells them in the courtyard. Ori, create companion who have never deserted one. Ori, the master of all. It is Ori we should praise. The rest of the body comes to naught. When Ori is missing from the body, what remains is useless. What remains is useless. What remains is incapable of carrying the load. It is Ori which bears the load. Ori, I pray you, do not desert me. You alone, O Lord, of all things, do not desert me. Ladies and gentlemen, as you stand to your feet now, I'm getting ready to get purified so I can pour libation to the north and the west. And I'm going to ask Baba to purify me. And as he begins to get ready to purify me, I am going to get ready to do the ancestral naming ceremony. Baba, will you please purify me? Thank you, Baba. Is it purification? Purification is complete, ladies and gentlemen. If you pardon me as I dry my hands real quick. The purification is complete, ladies and gentlemen, and you are now standing on holy ground. This is a segment of the show where you can reach in and pull out your list of names of your ancestors and call on the ancestors so that they can reconnect with your family. This is a segment of the show where the energy is available to you, ladies and gentlemen, where you can tap in to the spirit and receive what is necessary and what is needed for your family. This is a segment of the show where vibration is more, and we call the ancestors, and we ring a bell to remind them to be a part of our ceremony. And we have our drums. We want to call the drummers out so they can be a part of this segment. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you remember to call on your ancestors and remember their names and letting them know that you have not forgotten about them, because they need to reconnect to you and they need to be a part of your life at all times. And for those of you who are ancestral communers, I invite you to be a part of this segment. I'd like for you to know that at this very moment, your blessings are near. Whatever you need in the spirit is near. You need only to call on your ancestors. They will guide you. They are like a light to your feet. Let them light the guiding way and the path, your deliverance to your redemption. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to call on the names of our heroes and sheroes as we pour libations to the east of the diaspora of the four cardinal directions, pouring libation to the west of the four cardinal directions, pour libation to the north, and pour libations to the south. We say, Ashe, so be, so let it be. As we prepare to call out our heroes and sheroes' names, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that you're standing on holy ground. This is the place where you meet God at the point of your need, your higher self, your Ori. This is the place where we pay homage to Oludulamare, the God of the ultimate universe. Ilede, the God of the inner court of heaven, Oluru, the prophet to the Africans. This is a point in the segment where we pay homage and give them adoration and praise by lifting them high unto the atmosphere. We pay homage to them. I'd like to call on the drummers now. I think they're all ready to come in with their drumming. Drummers, ladies and gentlemen, we know that it's very important to have the drum because a drum can issue a warning and issue information.
Cemetery
called forth her ancestors and told her ancestors, your spirit is being requested today. We have need of your spirit so that you can reconnect with the family and we can get a present. I'm calling on the Moaning Woman right now. I'm calling on the Moaning Woman from the West. I'm calling on the Moaning Woman from the West and from the East and the South and the North. I'm calling on the Moaning Woman because the Bible said, call for the Moaning Woman. Call for the Moaning Woman because they can get a prayer through. Because Zion is pregnant and she can't give birth. In order to deliver, she must have the lubrication of delivering. And right now, we're going to provide that by calling on the Moaning Women in the audience today. Women, your request is being made. We're going to have to go forth in front of our men who have been broken, who have been desperate, and who are now looking for us to pick up the mantle and carry the baton. I'm calling on you, women, because we can get a prayer through. And as we get the ear of the king, we'll petition on our family's behalf and especially on our men's behalf. As we begin to carry the baton, Lord, give us a mission for our family. Give us a word, Lord. We need a word from you. And show us what we are to do in order to resurrect our dead families who've been broken. Show us what we need to do to put marriages back together again. Show us what we need to do to set the university and the all-time high of the problems of families back on course. Show us what we need to do, Lord. But Father God, we know that we are walking in duality with our man. But right now, because so many of our men are locked away, Lord, so many are locked away, we have to do the job. We have to stand alone and do the job so we can stand out front. Like Moses when he lifted his hands up to give the people hope. Let the women stand today to give the people hope so that they'll know that there's been a prayer put in our mouth and a song in our heart. And they tell me that the women's songs uplifted the people and their prayers magnified the Lord so that they had hope. Let us give hope to our community again. Let us give vision back to our community, Father. And Father God, if there ever was a way to overturn what is happening, it is going to be done through the women. Women, I don't think you know this, but you've been called and appointed. It is a reason why the men are not out front now. God is waiting for us to come out front. He's waiting for us to come out front and to get the ear of the king so God can commission us for this work that has to be done. I've never seen a time when the earth was so dismantled, upside down. Every aspect of the lifestyle of people has been tainted. Only person that can get it right today is a woman. Oh, yes, and African-American women, I'm calling you. Caucasian women, you can do a job, too. You can change the atmospheres in your home and make a difference. Now, we know that the women's suffrage movement, we know that when we got out there rallied together for pushing for African-Americans to get their freedom, that we also pushed for the women's suffrage movement with Susan B. Anthony, and we aligned ourselves together in the struggle. But it seems like there's no struggle now, Lord. When in a time when there should be a struggle, there is nothing going on, no movement. Father, we ask that you will begin to put the movement back in the struggle, so that women will see that we can't sit down. I'm like Fannie Lou Hamer, we can't sit down because time is upon us and we have to appear to be rushed because we don't have but to do what it is necessary to do to change the course of the earth. And as I stand here on holy ground, I'm commissioning all of the ancestors to stand with me today. I'd like to call on my mother, Clara Mae Jenkins. I'm calling you today to set the women's course of a movement. I call on Robert Jenkins today, my father. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Shay. I call on Essie Lee Pope. I call on Emmanuel Day, Shay. I call on Eugene Lilly, Shay. Tommy Jenkins, Shay. Robert Jenkins, Shay. I call on Mary Lou Hawkins, Shay. I call on Michelle Harvey, Shay. Isaac Ashe. Nisha Lily, Ashe. I call on George Lily, Ashe. Sam Lily, Ashe. And I said, so be it. So let it be done. Ancestors, shine a light into our feet. Ancestors, we light this candle so that you may have vision and light. Ancestors, we set a glass of water in front of you that you may have water to quench your thirst, that you might have thirst that is quenched by now, and that we begin to ask you, ancestors, that you will please open up the door and the way so that it will be plain and clear for women to come through. And, Lord, as I call on the women today, you know where you are, you know who you are, and you know whose you are. I'm calling on you today because the Lord has given me a word for you, and the word for you is that now is a time that you are not only a hat wearer in the church, but you are a prophesier, you are a seer, and you will be able to see into the lives of others and divine and speak the truth over situations. Now is a time, you being that special, loving thing, the spiritual thing unto God, now is a time that you are going to have to rise up. Now is a time that you are going to have to foretell it, just like Mary Magdalene did as one of the first evangelists. She went and told that Jesus has risen. You're going to have to go and tell it now. You're going to have to act as one of the first evangelists that you are. And I want you to understand that Mary Magdalene wasn't no whore. She was a great prophet, and she was a great evangelist, and she was the first woman evangelist. And now that we are being called, we too can go and tell it by the highways and byways. And everyone is called to be an evangelist. Not just Mary Magdalene, but you too, women. You too have been called. And I implore you today, at the sound of my voice, ask God to reveal to you what his mission is for you, what his plan is for you and your household, for this nation. It takes a woman to raise up a nation. And if our nation is going to rise, our nation cannot rise any higher than this woman. Today, the woman is being elevated. She's being elevated to a proper status, and therefore our nation can rise again. Our nation can rise to the point where it needs to rise. Put the black woman out front. She's wholesome. She knows what the family needs. She can manage. She can balance the budget. She can bring harmoniousness to the nation. Put the black woman out front. She can go in the kitchen. And she can prepare a meal for thousands of people just like Jesus did with five loaves and five loaves and one fish. She can do it. She can manage and get us in the black so that we're not in the red. She can stand out front and speak truth. She has credibility. Put the black out front, I say. Black woman out front, I say. It's a time now. Time now. And non-Melanite Caucasian women, don't be afraid that we're taking over. No, we're going to need your help. We're going to need your assistance. The call is for women, but it's also been called for black women to step out front. Now let us do it. We want to do it. And when we help ourselves, we ultimately help the whole nation. And you can be of assistance. You can be of assistance when you go and speak truths and open up doors for us. Yes, you can. And don't think that this is a race thing. This is not a race to the finish. God has always said that the head will be first and it will be last. He's already said that we win in the end. And if we're going to win this thing, we're going to have to let the woman come out front. And this is a war, Lord. We know it's a war for the minds of our children. We know we're going to have to gird ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness and clothe our feet with the gospel of peace. We're going to have to come out with a sword in our mouth, cut going in and cut going out. It's going to take a real warrior to come out front to change things around. It's time now. It's time now. I'm calling for the moaning women. I'm calling for the moaning women. Moaning women, will you come? Will you come, moaning women? Will you come with your prayers and your groanings and moanings? We spent our last 5 years moaning and groaning. There was a preparation to bring you forth. You will come. I implore you will come. We've already decreed it, and whatsoever has been decreed, God will watch over to perfect it. Perfect your prayers, ladies. Perfect your prayers. Perfection is in order. Thank you so very much, listening audience. Thank you for going there with me, and if you need help, I sense that there's someone out there that needs a healing. Tap into the spirit. I sense that somebody has a wayward child out there. Tap into the spirit. I sense that somebody's husband done left and don't know his way home and forgot his address. Tap into your spirit. I sense that there's somebody in the hospital. Don't know if they're going to make it out or not, but want to find a way to get non-drug therapy. Tap into the spirit. If there's somebody out there right now that's looking at a mortgage due and don't know where the funds are coming in, just tap into the spirit. Your deliverance is near, and your finances are here. Tap into the spirit. I sense that there's that child out there that ran away and tried to get out of his home because he can't take it anymore. He don't know where to turn because family ain't family no more. Tap into the spirit. This is your time now, ladies and gentlemen. The spirit is ready, and the spirit is able to reveal all things and to give all things. Now is the time to get what you need to live in this system. Tap into the spirit, I say. Tap into the spirit. I want to thank each and every one of you for tapping into the spirit at this time. This is your time and hour where you can acquire whatever you need. And I want to say amen to that. Ashe, so be it, so let it be done. So let it be done. And I'd like to go on by saying that we truly thank you, acknowledge everything that has been done for us, and we acknowledge all of the ancestors and all of the prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, our allegiance to the flag. Here's to this flag of the red, black, and green, hopes in its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall live it, in time to come. Red blood shall flow of it, historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depends on it. The red, black, and green of it, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young man shall dream of it. Face shot and shell of it, maidens shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors brought and pole of it. Pleased is my soul with it, irregardless of what has been told of it. Now thanks to God just for giving it the great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read that family pledge to you. And remember, you are to always acknowledge your family with a pledge. Something that you are going to tell yourself that you are going to do. The Black Family Pledge by Dr. Maya Angelou. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling in perilous undergrowth. Our children cannot hear us crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering. Our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand, because we have forgotten how to love the adversity, holding up the mirror of the world, shouting, regard the loveliest. Therefore, we pledge to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace the loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, our ragged, and to do all good, that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters in honor of those who toil and employ God with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopelessness, desolation. We make this pledge here on October the 25th, 2010. We'd like to say thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in and being a part of our segment for our Talking Cure segment. This is where you can get your healing. Time is segment set aside. I'd like to give you the special book over here in Omi's Corner at this time. And the book that I'm recommending is The Sacred Woman, The Guide to Healing the Female Body, Mind, and Spirit by Queen Afua. You definitely want to get a copy of Queen Afua's book. It outlines the comedic teaching, giving you information for divination and a divine guidance for actually setting up your kitchen and healing your body, and especially your womb. Ladies and gentlemen, you definitely want to get the gateways of the sacred word, the gateways of the food, gateways of the sacred movement, gateways of the sacred beauty, gateways of the sacred space, and the sacred healing and sacred relationships. You can read all about it. You can find this at Barnes & Noble. It's a great, excellent book by Queen Afua. And Omi loves this book. It is definitely my favorite. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to remind you that you're in the Cure to Read Room. Our number here is 646-478-0270. You're welcome at any time to call in with your comments or your statements at any time. We do employ you to be a part of our show, and we definitely want you to know that it is our ancestors' faith that has opened up the door for us. It is because we stand on our ancestors' shoulders, and our ancestors allow us to be strong. We can't do anything outside of our own reach. If we are to have good faith and if we are to advance ourselves, we are to pay homage to our Ori and give homage to our head. And if you're not giving homage to your head today, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be, because it's your Ori that opens up air. And it's because of the power of faith that you must use that to believe that you can, not because you said you can, but because the ancestors have opened the way to make it plain and clear. The power of faith, ladies and gentlemen, station identification. Please join the Cobb family. These songs that are being played are by the Cobb family out of Chicago, and all of the array of beautiful songs that I've listened to for years, The Power of Faith.
Every day, from the moment I heart.
Power of Faith, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to welcome you back to the Cure to Read Room, and thank you so very much for joining us on this evening. We know that there's many rooms that you could have been in, but we just want to thank you for being a part of our room. And our topic again for this evening, our segment for this evening, who is the Lady and Oduwamere, and what part do they play in the Trinity? I'd like to read you a short African segment down in Yorubatang. Iba ase Olorun, Iba ase Ilede, Iba ase Oladulamare, Iba ase Olofon. Homage to the owner of heaven, homage to the living creator, homage to the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. No one ye, Baba Alua, Baba Alua, Baba Afen, Fa Ifa, Oladulamare, people praise Baba Lua. The Baba Lua gives praise to Ifa, and Ifa gives praise to Oladulamare. Lo Oju Orumala, Lo Oju Elede, Lo Oju Oladulamare, in the presence of Olorun, in the presence of Elede, in the presence of Oladulamare. Asede Owo Oladulamare, Asede Baba, sanction belongs to Oladulamare. Sanction is in the hands of the Father. Oni Omo, Olim, Mono Lofoni, Atunya, Moni Lofun. Today is the offspring of Ofun. Tomorrow is the offspring of Ofun. The day after tomorrow is the offspring of Ofun. The fourth day hence is the offspring of Ofun, and the fifth day hence is the offspring of Ofun. Just who is Alede, and who is Oladulamare, and what part do they play in the Trinity? Well, ladies and gentlemen, according to Chief Metahochi, in his writing, My Teacher and Guide, he writes, Olorun, Ilede, Olamare. Abi, Olamare is the least ratified. Ratified means it means to have energy and be electrified. But they're still neither matter nor conditioned by matter. Okay? He is the root that which eventually becomes matter, and the root that which eventually becomes form. We may perhaps regard him as the matter, okay, from which the principles of the form and the matter subsequently develop. He is pure spirit is who Ilede is, but so near to the manifestation that he enters into virtually every aspect of manifested life, but not because he is the supreme God. Ilede is not the supreme God, ladies and gentlemen, which he is, he cannot be. But he may be like the prime minister. He operates as if he's a prime minister of the state, and whom the prime minister places absolute confidence in. The minister treats the prime minister with confidence. So here he is, Oladulamare's right-hand man as a prime minister who deals with the general public on behalf of the minister. In other words, he's like an assistant, like a vice president, and does not upset such permanent secretary or aspect to have much time for one. Oladulamare is virtually important because of this sort with Oladulamare. Deity, but not also because there are three names that are represented here, as we said, the three states of manifestation of that which is in the system, like that they indicated for Europe, but there's three in the system. Forever nameless is Oladulamare. He's nameless. And it is from which even the supreme deity, Olorun, derived out of this name as well. Okay, And as they go on to talk about Odu Lemuree, it says, I am without being, as you know. Odu Lemuree has no father, no mother, without end, and older than night or day, younger than the babes and the newborn, brighter than light. He's darker than the darkness, ladies and gentlemen, beyond all things and creatures. Yet he's fixed in the hearts of every one of us, from the child to the newborn to the elder. From me and the shining world flowing from, to me all at last returned, yet to neither men nor angel may draw nigh, for I am known only to myself. Odu Lemuree is only known to himself, ever in the same and in the utmost being, absolutely one, complete, whole, perfect, always itself, eternal, infinite, ultimate, formless, indivisible, changeless, of all extents. I am the source of the continuation and the end. Now, Odu Lemuree, being in the same category with Ilede, he needs these other people and Olorun. Olorun having the responsibility of working with men on earth. God needs to treat him like a secretary, giving him instruction so that he can go to the earth, because the Almighty Odu Lemuree is not going to come and interact with the commerce. Ilede, being pure, ratified energy, just like the Almighty Odu Lemuree, he is the prime minister taking directions from Odu Lemuree. Now, I asked the question, why is it necessary to have these three trinities? Why not just one God? As you know, God is so vast. You can't express who God is. You can't say in one sentence what his attributes are. And we are aliens having an earthly experience here. And as we have an experience here, God can know experience through us. He gets to have experience, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, he would not know experience. He cannot venture into the earth or be a part of it. He gave us dominion, and he had a prime minister to take orders to carry out the instruction, and he had Olorun come down to work with the affairs of man. Now, why do we need to have the Trinity? When we go over to Africa and go into Egypt, we see on the wall that there has been a predated version of the Trinity that was a borrowed story. And that story is on the wall, Heru, Horus, and Aset, meaning that this was the Trinity. The reason why I wanted to talk to you about this segment, because a woman had been quietly taken out. You said, taken out on me? That's right. The mother had been taken out. Just like in your aunt, you have the womb and you have the family represented, and the womb representing the woman, mother, father, and son. The woman was replaced by the spirit and taken out. For some reason, the woman held no known responsibility in the Bible, so they could not give her something as elegant as a place in the Trinity. So it was replaced with the spirit. For a long time in the African-American churches, women have never questioned why were they not visible in the Bible or in the presence of the Trinity. Because God's spiritual side is the feminine side of a woman. Now, for those of you who are saying a woman, that's right, you were born with a tendency, you were born with the feminine gender and the masculine gender. But you have to develop your gender, whichever one prevails, once you are born. However, God having the spiritual side of, and that being the female, meaning we were very dear to God. God needed us for a special reason to express himself. So in the Trinity, I found it necessary to the Egyptians to see how they did things by adding the Horus story, Heru, and Aset. And that, to me, was more logical because it is the representation of the family. Now, you said Mary Magdalene on me. Yes, I mentioned Mary Magdalene today to let you know that I am very concerned and disturbed about the picture and the played for a long time. As in the Trinity, you cannot have a situation where the woman has been cast down to have lesser character and to carry a role that she's carried in the Bible. She was there at the feet of Jesus. She took some of the most expensive essential oil and bathed his feet with it, which cost a lot of money, meaning that Jesus was very special to her, and also meaning that there was nothing too good for her master and savior. And if the history would be told on this, it would show that Jesus embraced her, rejected her when she washed his feet. And at the same time, Mary being one of the disciples, now this is according to God, but it can be documented. That's right, it can be documented, documentations on the Nova Channel to document what I'm saying. There is being research done right now to find out what Mary Magdalene's real position was with the disciples. Now, Mary Magdalene's disciples showed up at the Last Supper and then wanted to call in on a feminine person that sat close to Jesus. My opinion, this is only according to all me. Now, this is, I'm off of this claim. It's quite believing this, but all me. I'm saying that next to Jesus was probably Mary Magdalene. I'm saying that she also could have been one of the 12 disciples. And if she was, she held a very prominent position, just like the rest of the men. Now, we've got to get this thing straight now. Women have genders that are different, and there's some roles that women cannot play in society. They're just not built for it. And there's some things that women just cannot do because they were not designed for it. However, having a desire to serve the master and to love the master, there is no prerequisite for that. And why they were X'd out of the story of the Trinity, I don't know. But certainly it needs to be revisited. And Mary Magdalene's story needs to be retold. Because the Trinity is still incomplete, if you ask me. Even as we talk about Elede and we talk about Ode de Marais, I am still researching to see if any of these genders in the African trait were feminine gender. I am still researching that. I know that the Africans do believe in God and goddesses, and they believe in priests and priestesses, and they operate equally in the society. And if we could ever get this thing together, ladies and gentlemen, in our marriages, we wouldn't have so many difficult problems about whose role is to be carried out and who is supposed to have the mission statement in the family. I know that you can only manage one mission at a time, and there has to be one goal, but collectively it should be made with the woman and the male. It's very, very important that we start revisiting our whole philosophy of marriage. I'm working on a book called Reordering the Marriage Vow for the African American for the 21st Century. And in a couple of chapters that I've written already, I have put in the beginning prerequisite that we need to revisit and reexamine courtship, the institution of marriage, whether or not there should be not only the contract that should be offered as an option, a six-month contract, but also a trial marriage. Because remember, this is a lifetime thing. License can be evoked, license can be renewed, and this license you're getting from marriage is no different, ladies and gentlemen. You are going to have to look at the fact that you need to reassess a contract on a periodic basis so that you can update it, renew it, or make it null and void. Marriages are no different. And if we start proceeding and understanding them that way, then we can understand why that marriages are failing. Now, I like to even talk a little bit about the relationship of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Were they married? If there's anybody out in the audience who might seem to know about contractual marriages, was there a contractual arrangement? And was there some type of agreement, verbally or non-verbally, between the two of them? And if there was this the first contract for marriage? And why was it necessary for Jesus not to be married? In following the line, the bloodline of David, and the traditions of David to become a royal priest, I would think that it would be in order for all of the traditions of King David, for his lineage to follow them, just as Moses did by marrying. That really bothers me so much to the point where I wonder, what type of life did Jesus have without a family? It had to be a very lonesome life. But to go into things a little bit deeper, I'd like to also say that there are some questions that come to mind. Whose wedding was Jesus at? And why was he functioning as the host of a wedding? And why was this the only wedding that was focused on the wedding of Canaan? What was so significant about that wedding? And having Jesus there and Mary Magdalene and his mother, whose wedding was it? Does the author of the Bible ever describe the person's wedding and whose name was actually the person being married? Those are some mysteries and questions that need to be answered. Now I want to go on as to why God needs to have all of the essence and different levels of Godhead. If you were the master of ceremony and had great array and you could not even be seen by man without him dying, no man has seen God and lived. That's where the slogan comes from. Because you've only seen the deities and representation of who God is. That's why the Africans created Ile Day and Olorun. But then he was so gracious enough to let Olodumare breathe life into you and God working together and giving you this light. He gave you a part of his essence, and that essence is Olorun. That essence is Ori. So, as you look at all of the deities, Shango, Ishun, Alegba, Obakala, these are representations of who God is. Not a monotheist, not a polytheistic, but a monotheistic, so that you look at God as one person, even though he has a minister, a prime minister, and then he has a minister to work with him. He's still one God. We still are polytheistic, one God worshipers. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen, as African Americans, you are going to have to understand this is your customs and tradition. You're going to have to go back and research your tribes, finding out where you came from, what part of the tribes you came out of, and how you can reconnect yourself back. I don't know if you'll find information on Olorun or Olodumare or Ile Day, but you will find something very important. You'll find Ile Ife in Egypt, the Garden of Eden, the Holy Land in Nigeria. Very, very special place we definitely want to reconnect to. Now, you must remember that God created the universe, and when he created the universe, some of the people asked, like the trees has to become deified, and some of the people that were here on earth that he worked with became deified in the form of ponds and rivers and trees. African religion is not a folktale, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a fable. It is not just made-up information. It is a traditional oral story that's been passed down from generation to generation. And as we begin to gravitate to the divinations, we gravitate to it with the understanding that our third eye is open. And your sixth sense is your third eye with your chakra, ladies and gentlemen, up near your head. It's very important that you should understand that as your eyes become open and you allow yourself to become intuit, and an intuit person can read into the lives of others and see into the lives of people that are close to them, and they can see things before they occur. These are your loved ones who you care a lot for. And you can ordinarily show that if your pineal gland is functioning and if it is in operation. In our next segment, we're going to be dealing with intuition, intuitiveness, and our sixth sense. We all have, and we all have to understand, we're not talking psychic, but we're talking intuitiveness, clairvoyantism. Each and every one of us have that capability, but we must exercise it by using the law of the universe and practice it. Just like any gift, that will become dormant and you use it. In our next segment, I hope you join us next month, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a great time talking about intuitiveness. And this Wednesday, we have a guest coming in. He's going to be talking to us about Kwanzaa and the types of books that are out there for Kwanzaa. And he's going to also give us a little bit about his poetry. And we'll be able to talk to him about some things that are deeply spiritual. You can join us on this Wednesday when the gentlemen come in to speak with us. He is